If you're like our family, you probably have Netflix. We have the Netflix streaming video service. And it's gotten a lot of pub lately for a lot of reasons. One, because Gilmore Girls, if you have a daughter, and if you're a guy, you don't have to raise your hand. I won't call you out on this. Watch Gilmore Girls. They've just kind of released kind of a follow-up to their very successful series. So that's very popular in our house. And, you know, I love Netflix. It's a great service. You can find a lot of shows, a lot of older shows and movies. Well, I was bumping around on Netflix just looking for something to watch a while back, and I came across this show that I just thought was awesome. I thought it was hysterical. I thought it was just absolutely amazing, and I think I was the only one because the show was canceled. So nobody apparently watched this show, and it was called The Grindr. See, nobody even knows this show. I made Christy watch this show. It was just so great. It starred Rob Lowe. It was a sitcom, and he plays an actor who just ended an 8-year run on a TV show where he played this over-the-top lawyer. I mean, the kind of lawyer that throws everything off the table, and he's just so dramatic, right? I mean, it's just the cheesiest thing. Well, his show ends, and he doesn't know what to do. He has no idea who he is or what to do, so he moves back to Idaho, where his family lives, where his brother and father own a law firm. And he just kind of inserts himself into the law firm, and he thinks that because he played a lawyer on TV, he can practice actual law. But he brings all of the drama with him. So every time, like, he talks in a stage whisper. People say, "Why are you saying that?" He goes, "Well, for dramatic effect, of course." And every time somebody says something, he has this great habit of repeating it back, but as a question. Someone will say, "I think we have the evidence." "Do we have the evidence?" And people are like, what are you looking at? Is there something over there? He's like, "No, it's just for a dramatic effect." And so it's really kind of funny to see him trying to find his role because he has no idea what his role is now that the TV show is over. And let's be honest, sometimes we don't know our role in life, right? We sometimes think our role is, well, I'm a parent or I'm a student or I'm an employer or I'm an employee. And we think that's our role. And then we end up like Rob Lowe's character that, when that role ends, we don't know who we are. And that can be frustrating and that can be challenging because we thought our role was one thing, but we really don't know our true role. Now, the flip side of this is true as well. When you know your role and accept your role, it's a great thing. And to me, one of the great examples of this, and if you're a little older like me, you'll remember this, when the 6-time NBA champion Chicago Bulls made their run. Michael Jordan, obviously, is the greatest basketball player that ever lived. But what made those teams so great was everybody on the team knew their role. The guy who played defense knew his role. The shooter knew his role. Everybody knew their role. And when everybody knew their role, accepted their role, and fulfilled their role, it was an amazing thing to watch as they won 6 NBA championships. And so the question is, what is our role? Not as a parent, not as an employee, not as an employer, not as a student, but what is our true biblical role? You know, as we go through Advent and our theme is to light the way, what is our role in lighting the way? Well, we're going to take a look at John's gospel. We're going to take a look at a lot of what John wrote. Now, there's John's gospel. John also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. John witnessed the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. John is writing to new Christians. He's writing to people who have made a commitment to faith but are really trying to figure out what that means and what their role is and that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we're going to take a look at starting at John 1 if you have your Bibles with you or if you want to pull it up on your phone. We're going to read the first 9 verses of John chapter 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Now let's stop there for a minute. John is unpacking the greatest story ever told. You know, a lot of times people will come and say, I haven't read the Bible and I want to start. Where should I begin? Should I start in Genesis? I would say absolutely not. Because if you start reading the Bible for the first time in Genesis, you will never get out of Genesis, okay? The best place, I think, to start reading the Bible is the Gospel of John. Because John really lays out what the gospel is and what the story is. He lays out who all of the characters are. First thing, he says, God is the creator. God is the author of life. God created the heavens and the earth. God created you and me. God created all things. So he says, God is the creator. Then he talks about how we are the created. We are the created. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. We are a product of the creator. God is the creator. We are the created, and Jesus is our redeemer. John lays this out very clearly in his gospel. These are the roles that people play. God is creator, us as created, Jesus as redeemer of our fallen creation. See, we have to understand and accept our role. Now, notice how John begins his gospel the same way that Genesis begins. In the beginning. First three words of the Bible, in the beginning. First three words of John's gospel, in the beginning. And that is to show the eternality or the eternal nature of Jesus. Jesus is the author, perfecter, and redeemer of life. And that's what John is trying to make sure that his audience understands and that we must understand is we need to understand our role. God is the creator. We are the created. John also talks about light and life and darkness and death. And when you go through John's writings, it's tough to separate these two things because light equals life and darkness equals death. And John is trying to say, we will find true life in the light of Jesus Christ. We will find all types of life. Listen to what the psalmist says. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. We find life in the light of Christ because he is the author and the perfecter of life. Think about the type of life that we find in Christ. We find physical life. We find physical life in the light. We have been created by God. The Bible says that we are perfectly knitted in our mother's womb, that God knows the number of hairs in our head. God knows the days of our lives. God is the author of our physical life. Second, he is the author of our redeemed life. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't be good enough or moral enough or religious enough or nice enough. There is nothing that we can do to get right with God outside of living in the light of Christ. You could be the nicest person. You could be the most philanthropic person. You can be the most generous, the most gracious, the most loving person. That is amazing things, but we can't redeem ourselves. The only way we can get right with God, because we are the created and that creation has fallen and there is sin that lives in each of us, is living in the light. And the third type of life that we get is eternal life. It's eternal life. We sometimes don't know the role. We think we determine the criteria for what equals eternal life. We say, I'm a good person. How could God not want me? I've done a lot of nice things. I've been very religious. I'm very spiritual. Pick your adjective. But we seem to think that we determine the role for what equals eternal life. We have no role in creating the physical life. God is the author of physical life. We cannot redeem ourselves through religion and good works, and we cannot determine the criteria for eternal life. But see, this has been the problem since the very beginning, is that we don't know our role. Think about it. God creates Adam and Eve. He places them in the garden. He gives them a role. You are to till the garden, take care of the land. And what does the devil come and do? He says, I got a better role for you. He says, go eat from the tree of life. And then when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. The devil has been trying to say, there's a bigger role for you. You're in charge. You're the author. You determine your fate. You set the rules. You make the priorities. See, the devil has always been trying to change our role where God has made it very clear what our role is. We are the created. We are not the creator and we are not the redeemer. And see, we must understand our role in life. If we're going to light the way, we have to understand our role. And it is not that we are the light. It's not that church is the light. It's that Jesus Christ is the light. And we have to understand that we are his creation that helps light people to the Creator. That is our role. Understand that darkness is sin. And that there is sin in the world. And there's sin in you and there's sin in me. In fact, listen to how John says this in chapter 3. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. If you talk to anybody, whether they are religious, atheist, agnostic, any religion across any world, if you say, do you believe there's darkness in the world? You're going to get a yes. Everybody, whether you're religious or not religious, can say, is there darkness in our world? Absolutely there is. We can look all around us and see darkness. We can universally agree there's darkness in the world. Now, ask this question. Do you believe that there's darkness in each of us? Well, no. I'm a good person. I'm really nice. See, we will all agree that there's darkness in the world, but none of us want to admit that there's darkness in us. Because that puts us in a place of being the created and not the creator. And we don't want to admit that, yeah, there's sin in each of us. Because we don't want to admit that, yeah, I'm struggling with my role in life. And so what John is saying is that there is darkness in the world. And people don't want to admit that that darkness lives within each of us because each of us is a sinner. And John talks about how that though there is darkness in the world, darkness has not overcome the light. Have you ever felt just overcome, overwhelmed, overburdened, overworked? I mean, I think all of us know what it's like to feel like I'm overcome with emotion. I'm overcome with fear. I'm overcome with doubt. I'm overcome with worry. And we just live kind of in this place. It becomes our new normal of feeling overcome and overwhelmed with life. We're going too far. We're going too much. We're too busy. We're overwhelmed. We don't have time for the things that we want to do. We become so overwhelmed. And we sometimes think, well, that's the culture. That's us living in darkness, thinking that we have to do those things, thinking that we have to be this busy, thinking that we have to keep up appearances, instead of realizing who we are. We're the created, which means we're a mess, which means we're not perfect, which means we're going to fail. We're going to make big, honking, hairy mistakes because we're the created. But if we live in the light, we'll never be overcome by the darkness. If we truly find and know our role that is living in the light, that our life is living in the light of Christ, the darkness will not overcome it. See, this is not about light overcoming darkness. This is about darkness has never overcome the light. If you've ever been in one of those like dark rooms where there's zero light, or I was in a cave once in North Carolina where it was like as dark as it could possibly be, if you even take a match and light it, it will illuminate the darkness. The darkness can't put out the light. The darkness doesn't have the ability to put out the light. The light has the ability to illuminate the darkness. And see, we find ourselves in a world that can be so dark, but if we're in the light, the dark will not overcome us. But sometimes we live in the dark. See, the only way out of darkness is a light. You can fumble around and bump around, but the only true way out is the light. And we get such encouragement from Jesus when he says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. John goes on to say in his epistle, 1 John, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. And then 1 John 5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We can't overcome the world. We can't overcome the darkness that is in the world, and we can't overcome the darkness that is in us. We don't have the ability. We don't have the capability. See, maybe you don't think of it like this, but there is a blessing in our limitations. See, when we know and accept our limitations, there's actually a strength. There's a freedom. We sometimes think that we have to do everything, know everything, and overcome every challenge, every obstacle, every problem, every piece of darkness that is in our life. We can't. If we know who we are, that we are the fallen creation of God, that we are the Creator, and we accept our limitations, I can't overcome my sin outside the light. I can't overcome the darkness of my past. I can't overcome the darkness of my addiction. If we accept our limitations, then we will have power. Because then we are saying, I know my role. I am the created, and I know that I am frail and weak because of sin, but I know that in the light, the darkness will not overcome me. Accepting our limitations gives us strength. I found this out recently. As many of you know, Christy's parents have moved here from Orlando, and they've been kind of unpacking and trying to find the right places for furniture. And so they've asked if I could move things here and there, and so I've been able to move furniture for them here and there. Well, they asked me if I could move a piece up to their second floor. And I didn't even really think about it, but I said that was fine, but in my mind, it was two pieces that you kind of clipped together. Well, when I came to realize that this was one big, thick armoire, I realized very, very quickly my limitations were before me. There was no way I was going to move this armoire all the way up to the second floor by myself. There was just no way. So I had to find somebody who understood my limitations, accepted my limitations, loved me anyway, and would help me move the armoire upstairs. Now, I couldn't find anybody, so I asked Joe, okay? So I called Joe, and I said, could you help me do this? Why? Because I know that Joe is strong. I know that Joe is kind and gracious, and he would help me. And so we got that armoire, and we got it all the way up to the second floor. And it's there. And there was a freedom in that because, you know what, I accepted my limitations. I could not move that thing by myself. I needed help. I needed someone who was strong, who was willing, and who was accepting, and that was Joe. And he's available for all of your moving needs. Feel free to ask him. Yeah, flat fee right there. But there was something freeing in that because I didn't have to carry that by myself. Because I couldn't, I would hurt myself. And you know what? I would hurt other people. How many of us are trying to carry a metaphorical armoire to that second floor in our life? How many of us are trying to carry all of our past, all of our failures, all of our frustrations? How many of us are trying to carry that up? How many are trying to carry up our kids aren't doing this, that, or the other thing? Or our kids are struggling. We're trying to carry that armoire of our kids' relationship upstairs. How many of us are trying to carry that armoire of work being hard or frustrating? Because we don't accept our limitations of our role. We're the created. We can't carry that burden of sin, that armoire of trouble. But when we accept our limitations and we know our role is created, there's something freeing and powerful about that. Now, John says, know your role. You're the created. He says, accept the limitations in your role and you'll find freedom and power. Then he says, here's how to fulfill your role. You know, one of the things about those Chicago Bulls teams that made them successful is everybody knew their role, accepted their role and their limitations, and then went out and joyfully fulfilled their role. It's something really cool. If you go back and you watch those highlights, I mean, everybody knew their role and they fulfilled it. So John lays out there was a man named John the Baptist. Look, John was a character, right? The camel hair, honey locust. I mean, he was a guy. But he knew his role, and he accepted his limitations of his role. John was baptizing. John was the first guy, the first voice of God that people had heard in 400 years. See, and we know that John knew his role and accepted the limitations of his role by the way when people asked him who he was. People said, John, wow, you're this crazy guy. You're baptizing people. You're doing this stuff. Are you Elijah? Back from the dead, he goes, no. I mean, he could have said that, but he says, no, that's not me. They said, oh, John, you must be a prophet, right? I mean, you're a prophet. He goes, no, that's not me. Listen to how John responds. He says, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. John says, man, I'm just a voice. I'm not worthy of God. I know who I am, and I know my limitations. I am a vessel. I am a voice. I know who the servant is, and I know who the Savior is. I know who the living Word of God is, and I know who the living witness is. See, John knew his role. He was to be a witness. He was to be a witness to the light. He was to be a witness to Christ. He knew who he was, and he knew who he wasn't. And sometimes it's more important to know who we are not as it is to know who we are. John says, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Savior. Sometimes we have to accept that we are not everybody's Savior. We're not. You're not that person in your life that you love, their Savior. You're not. I'm not your Savior. You're not my Savior. There's one Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. John knew, as successful as John was by worldly standards, he knew who he was, and he knew who he wasn't. John knew his role. He was a witness. And see, that's our role. Our role in lighting the way to people is being a witness to the light. Is saying, look, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. I'm the created. I'm fallen. I'm a mess. I know who I am, but I also know who my Redeemer is in Christ. And I've accepted the limitations of my role that being religious or being good or being moral or being charitable, those are great, but that I can't do it. I can only be redeemed in Christ. We struggle with accepting who we are and our limitations, and if we do, we can never fulfill our role. See, our role on God's team is to be a witness. In John 5:35, Jesus refers to John the Baptist, a word in the Greek called a lupnos. And that word basically means lantern. So Jesus was calling John a lantern. And he said, John, your lantern is portable. That's what that word means. See, this is who we are. We are a portable lantern that takes the light. The light is not from us. The light is not us. We take the light into the darkness. And we say to people, let me tell you who I am. I am God's creation and I'm a mess. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's my Redeemer because I can't redeem myself. And in doing so, we fulfill our role as a witness. See, we all struggle. What's my role in life? Is it a parent? Is it a grandparent? Is it an employer? Is it an employee? Is it a student? What's my role? That's not our role. Our role is to accept that we are God's creation and that we have fallen. And we need to accept the limitations that we cannot redeem ourselves, that only Christ is our Redeemer. And our role is to be a witness, to be a lupnos, to take our light into the darkness. Maybe your darkness is your school. Maybe it's your lunch table. Maybe it's your department at work. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your family. See, the light isn't meant to stay here. It's meant to go out there. That's why God put us in Bennington, so that we can bring the light of hope, so that we can be real with people. And if you think that some people know their role and some people don't, you're crazy. Trust me, I'm a pastor, and I'm not sure what that means. Is my role based upon how many people and programs and ministry and money that we have? Does that mean I'm doing a good job in my role? I don't know. I struggle with that. I mean, I'm a mess just like you. I'm trying to say, what's my role, God? And God keeps saying, be obedient. Know who you are. Know who I am. And know what I've asked you to do. In there it says, find what pleases the Lord and do it. See, Paul sums it up so great. He says this, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. You know what pleases the Lord, I think, is when we admit who we are and we're a mess. That we don't have it figured out. That we don't know what we're doing. And that we know that as hard as we try to say we're not trying to redeem ourselves, we really are. And that we once lived in darkness. I spoke to my mother yesterday, and she was telling me that she was out shopping in the town that I grew up in, and she ran into a guy that used to be my high school, or I think it was high school baseball coach. And he said, so, how's Jeff doing? And mom's like, good, and where is he? Nebraska. And he went, where? She went, Nebraska. What's he doing? Well, he's a minister. What? He's a minister. Jeff is a minister. My mother was like, yeah. She goes, no, Jeff. He could not believe I was a minister. because all he saw was my life in darkness. He saw how I embraced the darkness, how I lived in the darkness. That's all he knew. But once I realized that I was in darkness because of sin in my life, and once somebody finally shined the light in my life to let me see that I can accept that I am a mess, but Jesus loves me anyway, and I gave my life to Christ, all of a sudden I knew my role. And that's to let other people know that there's hope and life in the light that is Jesus Christ. That I can be a lantern, not a spotlight, but a lantern. It's portable. That's our role, gang. That's our role on God's team. It's like, have you ever been to an orchestra concert and all of the instrumentalists are playing together? Isn't that so cool? Because they all know their roles. Have you ever been to a ballet and you see the dance company and they're all doing the exact same moves at the same time? It's so cool because they all know their roles. Or if you watch those old Chicago Bulls, man, Steve Kerr knew his job was just shoot a jump shot. Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman knew just get the rebound and get it to Jordan. They knew their roles, accepted the limitations of their roles, and then they fulfilled it. Now, I don't know if I'm advocating for you to go watch The Grinder. I'm not sure, but maybe. And I'm going to go to the bottom of the ocean for this analogy, so just work with me on this. It's a great show, 30 minutes, 22 episodes, and the whole time this guy is trying to figure out his role. He just doesn't know what his role is. But if you watch it through the lens that his family continues to shine the light of love in his life, to let him know, we love you, we accept you, it doesn't matter to us that you're not working as an actor anymore. In the end, he truly comes to know his role. He accepts his role as a forgiven and welcome son back home. Now that may be bottom of the ocean when you see the show. You may say, he's crazy. I don't know what he was talking about in that show. But we need to know our role. If we're going to light the way, truly light the way, I'm going to ask Eric and the music ministry to come back up. If we're going to light the way this Christmas so people know the hope and the love and the forgiveness and the joy of Jesus Christ, then we've got to know who we are. And we're the created. And you know what? We're a mess. And we have fallen and we've made big, hairy, honking mistakes, and we're going to make more. And that we know that we are not able to redeem ourselves through works and through religion, but only Jesus Christ can redeem us from our sins. When we know our role, accept the limitations of our role, then we can fulfill our role as the lutnos, as the lamp in the darkness for others. Amen.